Well, I have a burden this morning about children and child training and different things. Pray the Lord will help me with this. We'd like to read Psalms 127. I first want to say that you can be a mother in Israel and a father in Israel if you don't have any children at home. Or if your children are grown, you're a grandparent. Wherever you are in life, you can be used of God. You're a father in Israel, you're a mother in Israel. You're needed for the children of the church, children in your family. So this can just help all of us to do a better job, I hope. Help me to do a better job. Psalms 127 says, in the third verse, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." When we take a baby in our arms, in my life, it was one of the greatest joys I've ever experienced, to have a child. It's a great sin to hurt these little children. God created these children. They're a heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
The fruit of the womb is God's reward to us. They're a reward to us. And we are to handle these children with the most respect and mercy and love. And we correct them to correct them in love. And the children in the church, be careful always to show them respect and love. We can train them with respect and love and mercy because they are a heritage of the Lord. They are a gift from God. Every one of us started out as a child, a baby, a child. I have sweet memories when I was a child of being at home with my parents, my siblings. I have cousins and grandparents I had in my life. Some of the sweetest memories is when I was a child, I go back in my mind and think of how people were good to me. Loved both of my grandmothers. My one grandmother on my dad's side, her name was Mary. She was a great cook. She could make the best chicken and dumplings you ever ate. I have tried my best to try to make them like her, but I just can't seem to get it. They're good, but they're not as good as my grandma. But she was a wonderful woman, and I remember one time, a sweet memory I have of her. What I'm trying to say is you're putting in your children's lives memories. You're putting, so be holy and godly and kind and loving to those children. My grandma said one day, I was at her house, I was a young teenager, I don't know if I was 16 or 15, but somehow I ended up in West Virginia at her house with her and grandpa alone. And she said, "Marsha, whatever you want me to cook for you today, I will go to the store and I will buy it, the ingredients, and make for you," because she was a great cook. Well, my favorite food, if anyone knows me, is spaghetti. So my grandma, I'd love to have some spaghetti. She went and got those ingredients, made a pot of spaghetti. I ate bowl after bowl all day. One of the best spaghettis I've ever had. But what I'm trying to say here is our children, remember these memories. Put good memories in your children's hearts. In the church, when we walk around and deal with these little children, wasn't it precious? Loved all the songs, how the little child came up and wanted to join them. You know, Jesus loved the little children, didn't he? Psalm 68:6 says, he puts the solitary person in families. 68:6. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. But one thing we want to get is God setteth the solitary in families. It is God's will for us to have a family. And the greatest joy in my life, I have the family of God. If you don't have a big family, you have the family of God. But those that have a family, that's an added blessing. I feel like I have different family. I have the church family. I have my immediate family. I have my mother and my siblings in West Virginia. I have that family. And I am blessed by all these families. And Jerry has relatives that are my family. So there's an extension that just ripples in our lives. I thank the Lord for that. In Genesis 2 and 24, we want to read just a little bit here about how God created the male and the female, and he wanted to have a foundation. This is really how children should be born, into a solid foundation of a mother and a father and a family. And Genesis 2 and 24 says, therefore shall a... Well, let's read 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Yeah. Male and female. This is God's way. This is the only way. And he created that, and he wanted a marriage. He wanted those children to be born into a solid marriage, to be trained and be brought up right. That was God's will. And over here in Genesis 1 and 28, it says, and God blessed them, the male and female. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. I was thinking about my personal immediate family. Jerry and I got married. We're the foundation of that marriage and this family. We had three little daughters. They got married. We had three precious sons. Then they had children. And I added it all up. And then we had eight grandchildren, six granddaughters and two grandsons. Now we have, Katie was brought into our life by Marion Braden. And we have two great-granddaughters, Willow and Everly. And so it's just growing. Soon we'll have two grandsons getting married to our granddaughters. And so now we have multiplied with Jerry and I to 21. But what I'm trying to say is God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And he wants us to teach these children that's under our lives, in our lives, that we're to teach them the correct way. My parents were very wonderful parents. A lot of them, you will never know them. But trust me, I'm telling you, they were wonderful parents. My mother will be 90 years old, June 26th, and we're going there for her birthday celebration soon. My mother will be 90 years old. And my mother taught me certain principles that stayed with me. My mother taught me, you only get married once and stay married till death do you part, is what I'm saying, till death do you part. She taught me that.
Thank the Lord.
To marry and pray for God to give me the one he wanted me to have.
Yes.
And my mother taught me that as a little child, a little girl. How serious, especially when I got in my young teenager, she would warn me and tell me, only marry and you can't get a divorce just over every little thing. You've got to stay with it. And she taught me that and put that in my heart. And my parents were married 56 years before, or 57 before Daddy died. They stayed with their marriage. They didn't give up when it was rocky. You heard the song. It gets rocky sometimes, but you don't give up. You might have financial pressures and different things. Don't mean you don't love each other. But the enemy can come in like a flood, but you don't give up on that. You stay together, you love each other, you work through it. And it's such a wonderful thing to be married many, many years.
Yes.
And it's in the world, they think, when they hear that we've been married over 50 years, it's just like, we talk sometimes to the waitresses or waiters, young people, you know, and they just say, oh, really? How'd you do it, you know? But you know what? This is what God really wants. He wants us to be strong and keep our... Think about our children. Don't give up on your marriage. You have children looking at you, looking at you for an example. And if you think you can't do it, they'll think they can't do it. And they follow us, you know. So we got to be steadfast and what God wants us to be. In Deuteronomy, first I want to read St. John 16:21. You know, the joy it is. We all know that one of the curses on the woman after the fall was to have children in sorrow. But it says in the scripture in John 16:21, a woman when she is travail has sorrow because of all the pain and suffering, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of that child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world.
Yes.
A woman, I tell you, there's such joy when you look upon that little face, that baby that God gave you. And what a responsibility. It doesn't end there. From that day forward, you are to not just raise that child, but you are to train that child. People today, I think, are just raising children.
Yeah.
A lot of them, I'm not speaking so much among the saints, but out in the world, they're just raising them. They're providing them with money and a house over their head and things like that, but they're not getting trained.
Yeah.
They're not spending time with their children to train them what's right and wrong, what you should do. Children come into the world needing training. I know when our girls were little, I had some things around the house, you know, like little knickknacks or something. And someone in the family said, you're going to have to put all that up because your children, they're going to get a hold of that and break it and they're going to tear it up. And I said, no, my children wouldn't do that because I will train my children. And I remember their little hands, they would go out towards, like if this was a knickknack on the table, their little hand would go out there and their eyes wanting to get that. And I'd say, no. And they draw their hand back. Then they test me sometime. A little bit later, they'd start going for that again. I'd say, no. And finally, they got so trained that they did not get it. They just let it alone.
Yeah.
I'd give them some toys, and you can have that. But you have to say no. You have to have rules. You have to have boundaries with children.
That's right.
Children are to be taught God-fearing, about being God-fearing. Deuteronomy 11 and 19, we want to read a little bit here. God wants us to train children. And it says, 11 and 19, ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So, when you're living with your children, when you're sitting in your house, talk about the Lord. Talk about good things. Teach them some good things. When thou walkest by the way, you're walking along. I know one of my little grandchildren, years ago, I had him in my arms, and they liked the moon. And it was the evening, we're standing on the driveway, and they look up there and they call it a ball. And went, the ball. And I'd say, honey, that's the moon. And that's what God made. You know, this is what I'm saying. You can incorporate in daily living teaching your children.
That's right.
It's not that you've got to have them sit down for an hour. That might be good sometime. They get restless. But every opportunity, teach them about God. And little children can say their scriptures. We have a great-granddaughter. She says her scriptures. She's not even 3 years old. And she can say her scriptures. And it's so precious. We can teach our children the Bible. And you know, they want to please you.
That's right.
I know I saw a young mother with a little girl. And she would tell her little girl, correct her, you know, like, you stop this, and she kind of frowned a little bit, and she said, now, watch your attitude, and she just straightened right up, and I think she might even smiled, and she's training her, you can't frown when you're displeased with me correcting you, and, you know, it's just a big job to be responsible for your children, and, you know, it doesn't stop there, it goes to being a grandmother. A grandmother to your children.
Yes.
Teach them all the time. Teach your grandchildren the right way. You can do it in a loving way, a kind way. You don't have to be overbearing with it, but just teach them when you're with them some good things and be a friend to them.
Yes.
And we have a scripture for that. We might go over there and get back, but in Timothy, in the first chapter there, 2 Timothy, Remember when Paul says, 2 Timothy, he says, 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Jerry's grandmother, and I've mentioned her many times, but she was a light. She was like my mentor. She was my mentor. She was like my personal pastor that taught me the truth, taught me about faith. We would go to her house on the weekends and she would read us books, the old time books about faith in God and the Bible, and pray with us. And she just instilled, after we got saved, she mothered over me. She mothered over me. She took me to make my wrongs right. She taught me. Jerry's grandmother was just like my own grandmother. I can't explain it. She wasn't in the flesh my real grandma, but I love her to this day like a real grandmother. This is what I'm saying. She was probably 70 or in her early 70s or when we got saved. I don't know the exact age. But it says you can be fruitful in old age. She was fruitful. She taught me the truth. She taught me and Jerry faith in God. And, you know, we don't stop when we're a grandmother or a grandfather. As long as you're alive, do what you can for these grandchildren. Yes. Don't think that your life it doesn't count anymore. Susan Wesley had 19 children, and I think it was like 9 of them only survived and lived. She had many that died in birth or later on. But she wanted her life to count. Can you imagine having that many children? Even 9 left or whatever. I think it was 9 children that lived. She had her hands full. She had her quiver full. But you know what? She taught them school back then, and they had to read the Bible and have prayer before they started their lessons, and then they read and prayed at the end of their school lesson. Yeah. She trained those children, and she said, Lord, let my life count. You know, sometimes being a young mother, you may think that, how can my life count? How can I even do anything else but take care of these children? Do you know you're doing one of the most important jobs there could ever be? It's to train those children. How do we know that one of those children might be a missionary or a minister or a Sunday school teacher? At Susan Wesley, John and Charles Wesley was some of the greatest evangelists, came from her children, those 2 sons that God used for a lot of people got saved under their ministry. And she was the mother. She was behind that. You know, like this says, you know, the mother that rocks the cradle, something like that, rules the nation. But, you know, it's very important, your job as fathers, it's very important, your job, to be the head of the home and to be a leader and be a real man, young men here, and even online or something that might be listening. We need to be men of God. They need to be men of God. The women need to be women of God. Men in the church need to be leaders. The women need to be good Christian leaders. We need sister ministers. We need young men ministers. We need more consecration among us. I see so many, we're getting older. And inevitable that we're going to die someday. Where are the young ones? You know, we see some, but when are you going to consecrate to the Lord? When are you going to be what God wants you to be, children? Young people, there is more than just sitting there. God wants your life. I heard Brother Phillips the other day, we all have talents that God has given us. Use your talent for the Lord.
Yes.
We need each other. We need to teach these children to be responsible before God, that they've got responsibilities in the church. They've got to ask God, what is my calling? Yes, we are not going to be ministers, but there's so many things in the church that we need. You know, and we do need young ministers. We need young sister ministers. We need young men to be ministers. But you cannot be a minister if you're not living a holy life. We need to live a holy life. And I was thinking about children. It says here about that, you know, that 1 Timothy 5:14, we're in Timothy right now, about the grandmother. She was holy. She was in Timothy's life. And she taught faith. She taught faith to Timothy. And Paul recognized that. The same faith that was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice is in you.
Yes.
We pass down faith to our children.
That's right.
And never, never give up on your children. Never.
Amen.
Never. If they're not saved, don't give up. That's keep right. praying every day. God has challenged me every single day to pray for my children one by one, every grandchild one by one, to keep them from the snare of the devil, and pray for them and pray for the church every day. Not, and you know, we need to teach our children to read and pray. There's so many times that people, young people that come to the altar are not reading and praying like they should. They're slipping on that. If we don't pray every day, we're going to get weak. There's a saying that said, prayer without prayer 7 days, you know, makes one weak. Well, it's one day will make you weak.
Right.
We need God. None of us are sufficient in ourselves. We all need God. We all need God to help us. But, you know, 1 Timothy 5 and 14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. But, you know, they can't marry young men if you're not living right.
That's right.
And in our church, you know, our young men need to consecrate your life to God and be holy men of God.
Right.
You know, it's time to grow up.
That's
it's trying
right.
to grow up. And please take it the right way. I don't mean it harsh, but I mean it is time to be a man and put away childish things. The Bible says that. There's a time to quit doing that and be a man of God. You've got a responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
God wants to put you in a family.
Yes.
He wants you to be a head of a house. He wants you to take one of these young girls, a Christian girl, to be your wife.
Yes. That's
and,
right.
you know, I think sometimes people are shrugging back from the responsibility of it. They don't want the responsibility of it. But I'm telling you, responsibility is good for us. It's good for us to have discipline in our life.
Yes.
It's good for us to have responsibility. Without responsibility, we're not going to be in a good shape. God says, whom I love, I chasten.
Yes.
And we need to chasten our children sometime. We need to teach them right from wrong. You know, we want to go back to this Deuteronomy. And it says, teach your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I'm going to ask you a question. When do we cease being a mother? When our children leave home, and I know it says, forsake your father and mother, cleave unto your wife, but also says, honor your father and mother. All the days of your, if you want to have a long life, to honor your father and mother. I still honor my mother. My mother's almost 90 years old. I would never say something hurtful on the phone to my mother. Or to her face.
Yes.
I respect my mother. She's feeble. She probably wouldn't even hardly be able to stand up and slap me or correct me. But I would dare not sass my mother.
That's right.
I would dare not say something to hurt my mother's feelings. I honor my mother. I honor her. She was my mother. She took care of me. She tells me many things when I was a baby, how there was a tornado coming and she took me and took me in the basement. And the tornado hit the farmhouse next to us and went over our farmhouse that we were at. And Daddy was upstairs trying to find me. And he said, do you got the baby? She said, I don't understand your daddy. What he would think, I would come down here to save myself and not take my baby.
That's right.
But I mean, she was a mother to me. She took care of me. That's what you need to look at your mother and father that way.
Yes.
Respect them. And don't ever give up on your children.
Yes.
If they're not saved, you still got a responsibility to keep talking to them in a gentle way. Ask God to open up the door, and you can always pray.
Yes.
And there's many children that get saved after their parents maybe have died, and they get under conviction, and they get saved.
Yes.
It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. You know, train up. You know what that means, to train up a child? Train them toward God, upward. Train them to live for God. Talk to them about God. Tell them how important it is. You know, the Hebrew word for train is to hedge in. We have to set boundaries with our children. We have to give them, teach them.
Yes.
And even adult children is a different thing. I understand that. But just because they turn 18, if they're living at home, I've heard this saying, they're 18 years old now, you know, I'm done. If they're living at home, they're to dress right.
That's right.
Whether they're saved or not, they're to dress right, they're to obey the rules of that home.
That's right.
I have an old book of Mother Meyer. She was a minister years ago. She had four daughters, but she had, was called into this lady, called her over to help her with her children. She had three or four children. They were so unruly. They sassed her mother. They were just throwing things around the house. They were so unbehaved. She said, Mother Myers, will you please help me with these children? I don't know what to do with them. She said, give them to me for a week. She had them children trained in 1 week.
Yes.
She took them home. She made them behave themselves. She I don't know what all she done, but when she said no, it meant no.
That's right.
I tell you what,
that's right.
When my dad told me no, it meant no. I mean, I couldn't change his mind. I mean, my dad would talk to me sometimes for hours and instruct me when I was a teenager, and he had boundaries for me. He didn't let me just go do whatever I wanted to do. And you know, we have to set boundaries for our children. And Mother Myers had those children trained in 1 week and took them back to her mother, or else she lived with her. I can't remember this exactly, but she gave them back to her. Now, see, these children are all trained. They weren't sassing no more. They weren't throwing things around the house no more. They weren't acting ugly. They were behaving themselves. If our children are not behaving themselves and they're little children, it's our fault.
That's right.
It comes back.
Right.
We have got to be the parent and make them behave themselves.
Right.
I know we just can't let them run wild, so to speak.
Yes.
We have to teach our children. The Lord said, train. If we're just raising children and we're not watching for their souls, we're not seeing, you know, I've heard people say among the saints, you know, that my mother knew when I was getting in something, I couldn't hardly hide from her. She just knew it. I know one time when I was a teenager, I put my hair in pigtails. And I guess my grandmother picked up when I put my hair in pigtails that I was like, gonna get in trouble. But you know, my grandma, she said, every time I seen you in pigtails, Marcia's up to something. You know, and she would just watch me and watch over me. She lived with us for a while, my grandma. But I'm just saying, we got to watch for our children.
That's right.
As those that must give an account before God. And never, as long as you've got breath, as long as you're alive, you know, I'm a great-grandmother now. But you know what? I feel the responsibility. I know I don't have it, maybe like the parents have it, of course, but I still have a responsibility with these children and grandchildren.
Yes.
To talk to them about God, to lead them. And I believe the Lord's helped me to be an influence on them. I don't know how much, but I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to show them love. I tell you, the most important thing is to show your children love. You know, it's not just whipping them and beating them. We don't want to beat our children. I know it says a rod in the Bible, and it's art to correct the children in the right way.
That's right.
But there was times when I was a young mother that you know, they get on your nerves. I'm just telling you, children can get on your nerves. And maybe I'd be spanking them and with the belt or whatever, and then maybe I thought I overdid it. So then I'd sit down with them, and sometimes I would weep. I would say, children, I want to whip you in the right way. I love you. I said, why I'm correcting you? I want you to get to heaven. And I said, let's have prayer together. And we'd get down, we'd have prayer together. And I said, I love you with all my heart. And we would hug each other. And I never let those children go away hurt and mad at me. You know what I mean? I always kept that love connection. And, you know, we have heard that there's 5 love languages. Have you ever heard that? Words of affirmation. You can look at your children and there's different things that you can connect with them. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, receiving gifts. You can see each child. I know I have one child, even now, quality time is very important to her. And quality time's good for me too. I like that.
Yes.
I mean, trying to have a lunch with her or something that you can do with your adult children. Look for what connects with them, right? Sometimes people that give gifts, that's their love language. And so, you know, it can be a small gift or a thoughtful gift of whatever. It doesn't want to have to be a lot of money to spend on it. But acts of service. Sometimes people's love language is acts of service. Your child is wanting to always help you. Maybe they want to sweep the floor, or they want to dust for mama, or You know, and you're catching on that they're showing you love.
Yes.
And so their acts of service, and sometimes we tell children, go away. You know, you can't sweep as good as I can. You can't dust as good as I can. Don't do that to them. Give them a little cloth. Let them dust. Let them show, do the best they can, you know. My mother told me when I was a little girl, I'd stand in a chair and wash dishes. I can kind of remember a little bit. I was about 5 years old. I loved to wash dishes. I loved a lot of soap. And I would put Joy or whatever, you know, bubbles of soap. And I just loved it. I loved to wash dishes. And Mom let me do it. She might have thought maybe I didn't do as good as her. I don't know what she thought. I don't know if she did it over after I did it. She didn't seem to. I did wash it pretty good. And she let me do that. Physical touch, holding somebody's hand. You know, I remember someone saying one time among the saints that they lost a child and they were in a funeral and they were sitting up front and some brother came up to him and just patted him on the shoulder. That's physical touch. And that was it. But it meant so much to that person.
Yes.
That you care about me, you know. I mean, we're kind of at a funeral, we're kind of like in an uneasy situation. We don't know how much to show love to that person because they're grieving and we don't really know what to do. But sometimes just a little pat on the shoulder, I'm sorry, you know, I love you. I mean, words of affirmation. Sometimes there's some people that just need a word of affirmation. A husband and wife. I heard one time a man said, well, my wife, she knows I love her. They've been married years and years. So he don't tell her. And someone said, well, that's not right. Just because you think she knows, you need to say, I love you. You need to say the words.
Right.
You need to mean the words.
Yes.
You need to show, if you want to keep that marriage together and healthy, you need to give words of affirmation. And even in the church, what is wrong with saying once in a while, I appreciate your message, or I appreciate you, brother, I appreciate you, sister. You know, we do get some of that, but it's okay. Sometimes people think, well, we're going to lift somebody up. I tell you what, God has a way of humbling his ministry, so don't think you're going to lift him up. But I just pray, dear God, that you'll help us to show our brothers and sisters love and have words of affirmation and show these little children these five love languages. You know, Jesus said, you know, the disciples wanted to send the children away in Matthew 19:14. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. All these children are going to be a teenager someday. Then they're going to be married.
Yes.
They're going to be adults. They grow up so fast. And I know my own father, I got married when I was 18 years old, which is pretty young. It really is. Back then I didn't think so. But when I see my granddaughters getting married, that's 19, you know, I mean, I realize how young it really is. But you know, it's back then my dad, it wasn't so much Jerry, it was any man. He did not want me to get married to anybody because he just felt like it's a grieving process. I was the oldest child and it was like, you're leaving home, you know, like you can't do that. But I did. And what I'm trying to say is your children that's under your feet right now and you feel like they're getting on your nerves and you don't know what to do with them, guess what's going to happen? They're going to grow up. They're going to leave your home.
Yes, that's true.
And then you know what you're going to think? I even have thoughts. I feel like I tried to do my best, but all of us make mistakes. But I think sometimes I don't want them to be little girls again. I'm glad they're married. I'm glad they're grown.
Yes.
I try to be a friend to them now.
Yes.
That's what I try to be. And I am. We're friends. And they can call me anytime, day or night, for prayer. They know I'll pray for them. But they got they're grown up. They got their own families.
Yes.
They got their own, you know, there's a limitation of what I can say and do. But yet, I'm there if they need me, right?
Yes,
my mom always tells me at 90 years old, if you need me, call me, honey. I talk to you. And I know I got a woman there in West Virginia that loves me with all her heart.
Amen.
And I tell you what, that means something to me. It means I want her here on earth as long as I can get her. I mean, she's just a precious woman. I wish y'all could know her. I'm just telling you the truth. But I tell you what, mothers and fathers, you'll miss them someday when they die. I'm telling you what, those that have, I miss my daddy. He died at 75. I think of him often. He loved breakfast. He loved breakfast. And sometimes at breakfast, a certain thing that my dad liked, it's a certain gravy, I have it once in a while, but he, my dad loved it. And I think of Daddy every time.
Yes.
I eat that, and I think about my daddy. And then I go on and think about many things about him. And I love him, and I miss him. I tell you what, you're going to miss those children. You're going to miss those children when they grow up,
yes.
And you're going to want to see them every time. I remember Sister Sylvia telling me, she said, "Don't worry, Sister Marcia, they'll come home." And she said, "You know what? It's going to be the greatest joy when they come home. I don't know if they realize how much a joy I have when they come to my home. Every time, I want to give them the best food, the best bed I can. I love them when they come home. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if they all come and they come and go and things get messed up. I like a nice house. I'm telling you, if you know me, I like things in place. I like it. But it doesn't bother me a bit if things get messed up when I have company. Because you know what I learn in just a few hours, I get it right back in place. We want to have hospitality. We want to have love. We want our children to be welcome when they come home. I cherish every time I open my doors for those children, and I want them to come home. I want my grandchildren to feel free to come home anytime, as long as I'm alive. And I'll tell you what, that's the way my mom is. Oh, I tell you, I just love the Lord. I just want to realize how the world, how they're treating children is terrible, because children are a heritage of the Lord, just like I read to you. They're the fruit of the womb as his reward. It's a reward to have children. And Proverbs 22:6, you know, God wants to help us to train these children and to love the children and to do our very best as long as we're alive. I'm going to encourage you, older ones, that your children are leaving home or they've left home. You're still their father. You're still their mother. And you do not get into their personal business and cause trouble. That's not what I'm saying.
That's right.
But you let those children know. You call them. You call them and tell them, "I love you. And I just want you to know that Dad is always here if you need me."
Amen.
Or Mom is always here.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. They're not going to reject that. Brother Carl mentioned about talking to his girls. That's good. Talk to them. Tell them, "I'm here. Daddy's always here. Or Mama's always here if you need me." And let them know that. That means something to children.
Amen.
Like I said, my mom's 90 years old, and it means something to know. I get to go see her pretty soon. Proverbs, I'm praying that she'll live a good long life. The Lord gave me a dream about my mother on Mother's Day a few years back. I had in my mind, I knew she was getting older, and I was afraid she was going to leave, you know what I mean? Leave and go to heaven. And she was about 87 years old, and on Mother's Day, I had a dream. My mother came to me that night, and she hugged me, and just as plain, and she says, "I'm staying longer." I said, "You are, Ma?" I said, "That's wonderful news." She said, "Yes," and she hugged me again. She says, "I'm staying longer. I need to be with you longer." And I called Mom on Mother's Day. That was the night before Mother's Day I dreamed. And I told Mom, I said, "Mom, I had a dream about you." I told her the dream. She goes, "Whoa, that was a wonderful dream." But I know God gave me that dream because I was concerned about it. He let me know, "I'm going to add years to your mother, even for your sake, just to give you that joy."
Yes.
You know, isn't God wonderful? He's
yes,
so wonderful.
Amen.
In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We hear this a lot. Train up them toward God. Somewhere, even if they're not saved right now, deep down in that soul, that training is still there. In the conscience, you don't know when they can burst out and they can get saved. And like I said, never give up. There was a story one time about a little girl, and her mom would go visit this old man. He was a neighbor, an old man that needed God. She would take cookies, she would take things to him, and he wouldn't respond. So one morning, the mother was just giving up. And the little girl said, "Are we not going to make cookies for Mr. So-and-so and go visit him?" She said, "No, honey, I'm just really going to give up. I just keep trying, and the man doesn't respond." And she says, "Mama, did Jesus give up?" Now, this is another side of the story. Children can teach you some things. They can teach you some things. Listen to the children. Don't be so high-minded that you can't take something from a child. And she said, honey, no, Jesus didn't give up. Let's bake those cookies. Let's go visit that man. And he got saved that day. He got saved that day. Praise God. So never, never give up. We've heard that. Never give up on your children. Never give up on your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. You've got a responsibility, as long as you're alive, to do something to help them. Let them know. Grandma's here. One of my little granddaughters, not long ago, she was leaving for a little trip, and I said, I'm going to be praying for you every day. She said, Mama, I know. I know. And I said, I want you to know I love you, and I'll be praying for you every day, and I've been praying for her every day. And I said, don't forget to read and pray. And I taught one of my granddaughters not long ago, I said, you take this Dreams in the Desert I gave her. I said, I'm going to read this one page with you, and I'm on time. How long did it take us to read this? And we talked a little, I think it was 2 minutes. You know, we probably read it kind of slow, but it was just a page, you know. But I was trying to get to her. It doesn't take long to read and pray, young people. We need to read and pray. And sometimes I think if we think we ain't spent an hour in worship, it's not. Sometimes we do as ministers, we spend hours reading and praying. But there's sometimes I don't have that time. You know, but I make sure I do something. I read the Bible. I read a verse. I read my little memory box. I pray to God continually, talk to Him every day, and I walk with God. We have to learn how to walk with God. It's not just something we have to read and pray. We've got to get to a place where we enjoy it and we want to do it. We want to meditate on God's word. We've got to get it over to the children, how wonderful this is to have your own relationship. We can come to service, we can come to church, but if we don't have that personal relationship with God, it's not going to be good for us. Because there's times that we're on trips or whatever, we can't even get to service. We want it. And I know Zoom is a wonderful thing, but let's not let Zoom replace coming to service.
That's
it said,
right.
It said
right.
we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves
That's
together.
Right. That's right.
I had one sister say to me, she's saved, but she says, you know, I enjoy as you're getting older, you can get like a little bit like, it's a little easier to be at home and relaxing and watch Zoom. But she said, that one scripture, you cannot forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It teaches
Amen.
Me that I got to go to service sometime.
Amen.
You got to go to service.
That's right.
There's sometimes you have to go.
Yes.
God wants you to go. You get something here. I know last night we were kind of tired. Jerry had already went to service, and I was just a little bit tempted. I asked my daughter, I said, we could watch it on Zoom. She said, no, but I don't think we want to do that, do we, Mom? I said, no, I don't think so, because you know why? When I get in the service, it's a whole lot better.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot better when you're right there in the service. And I know Zoom has its place, and for those that are afflicted or have problems, I'm not condemning you at all. I'm saying for us that are able to get here, it's
yes.
better for us
yes.
to try to, don't take the easy way out, is what
That's
I'm trying to
right.
say. Try to be there. But anyway, it says, train up a child. A child does not really know what's right and wrong completely. They have a conscience, but they have to be trained. And you have to train them not to be selfish with their toys. You have to teach them how to eat. You know, I've seen this one mother, her little girl would like candy all the time. They don't think about vitamins and minerals and you need to eat your fruits and vegetables. They have no idea of all these things. All they know is candy is sweet and it's enjoyable and I want it. Right?
That's right.
But the mom says, you can have a little bit, but that's it. No more. No more candy. See, you have to teach them. You have to train them. You have to teach them what to wear. If we let our children just make all the choices, we're making a mistake. We have to make some choices for them for a while until they get older. We have to make them. You can't steal. Remember the story about the missionary lady, I can't think of her name right now. She had an orphanage, and this little girl had stole some cookies. And the money, it was faced to her. Faith Stewart. And the money wasn't coming in that morning, and she was saying, children, who stole the cookies or whatever? And so I think it was cookies. So anyway, the money wouldn't come in. They were getting hungry. They were running out of food. And finally, this little girl, after a few days, she finally owned up that she was the one that stole. And after she repented and got forgiveness, a check came in the mail for groceries. And, you know, it's just stories like this, how God trains people. You can't steal. You can't lie. You know, my parents taught me many things like that. Many things that my parents taught me, and I appreciate it so much. Proverbs 22 and 15 says, foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I'm thinking of this. I know a rod can be a belt, or a rod can be whipping them some way. But we can have rod of corrections in different ways. We can ground them. I know one time, my children, when they were little, they wouldn't sit still in church very well. So I came up with the thing, well, you never make them sit still at home. So I got where I started at like 5 minutes, and I'd say, we're gonna have 5 minutes sitting on the couch, looking at a book, just being still. And then I raised it a little bit more, and I raised it a little bit more. Pretty soon I said, this is time, you have to be still. You know what, when they came to service, they could be still. Because they learned, this is the time to be still. But we have to train. There's so many things. There's so many things that we can teach children. Proverbs 1 and 4 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We're trying by the help of the Lord in the Bible to give you some wise counsel this morning. Every one of us have our place in the church. Even if you don't have children at home, you are a mother in Israel. You're a father in Israel. You're a grandfather, a grand. There's some place where you're at that you can be. You are a great blessing to the church, and you don't even maybe realize it.
Yes.
I have had people tell me about some of the older saints that are in congregation. They said, oh, I don't know what we're going to do when we lose them. They're just a pillar in the church. We just love them so much. We appreciate them so much. We appreciate their counsels. That's a wise person. I appreciate it. I have a little story I'm going to read to you before I sit down that I felt like God gave me. First, kind of really how I started this message, because I was reading in I think it was a Streams in the Desert. Do you have Streams in the Desert? You may have. It's a good book. But the young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked. Yes, and the way can be hard at times. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning. The young mother was so happy. She could not believe anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers along the way for them. The sun shone on them and life was so good. The young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. The night came and the path was dark and the children shook from fear and cold. The mother drew them close. Oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near us, and no harm can come to us. Mother said, this is better than the brightness of the day, for I have taught my children courage. Morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed, and they grew weary. And the young mother was weary too, and mother said, a little practice and a little patience, and we will be there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, we could not have made it without you, mother. And when the mother lay down to rest at night, this is better than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength. The next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war, hate, and evil. The children stumbled, and the mother said, look up, children. Lift your eyes toward the light. The children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them and brought them above the darkness. And that night, mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. The days went on, and the weeks turned into months and years, and the mother grew old. She was little and bent, but her children was tall and strong, and they walked with courage, and when the way was hard, they helped their mother. And when the way was rough, they lifted her. for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and golden gate that flung wide open. And Mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, you will always be with us, Mother. You will always walk with us, even when you have gone through the gates. And they stood and watched their mother as she went alone, and the gates closed after her. We cannot see her now, but she is still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence.
Thank the Lord.
Help us, Lord,
yes.
To be a mother and a good father, a grandmother, everything you want us to be.